see where we left off. We were in, actually, can I have one of those handouts? Because sure. I've got the master handout. I'd love to see what I gave to you guys. So we were talking about the words of institution. What are the words of our Lord? Do you remember what those are? Do you remember what part of the service that is? Could somebody describe those for me? What? That's our first little note there. What are the words of our Lord? Or break us. Huh? Yeah, on the night when he was betrayed, right, exactly. All that bit, right? And I sing it each time. We'll talk about that a little bit. It's the words that Jesus used to institute his supper and a little bit of narrative around it, right? You can find it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and 1 Corinthians. Kind of a big deal. Pops up 4 times in the New Testament. And they tell us, what he's done for us. He shed his blood for the forgiveness of our sins. I mean, that's sort of the gospel in a nutshell. I think we said that. Luther said, could you have a more simple explanation of the gospel of Jesus Christ than this? He gave his body for you, and he shed his blood for you for the forgiveness of your sins. It's the gospel in a nutshell right there. I'm just capping up because I think we got through the first 2 questions here. So I'm just going to review for you guys. We also say that this is the part of the service where Jesus shows up bodily, right? Let's see. When you're asked, how can the bread and wine be the body and blood of Jesus? Somebody asks you, they say, it just looks like bread and wine. What are you going to say to them? Because you believe that it's the body and blood of Jesus, right? But how? It doesn't look like it.
Jesus.
It just is.
It just is, yep. But yes, that's right. But even more, I would just say, why? How? We can't get too deep into it, but we can give a simple answer.
Jesus said this is.
This is, exactly. Jesus said this is. And is Jesus' word powerful? Yes, it is. It can do whatever it says. Whatever he says. So if he wants to give you his body and blood, can he do that?
Yes.
If he wants to come down from heaven and be born of the Virgin Mary, can he do that?
Yes,
he can. Right? By the word of his power. And we accept his word. Other names for the words of our Lord. You've got the words of institution. And that's one of the names for it. A there, words of institution. The words that Jesus used to institute the sacrament. B, sometimes it'll be referred to in Latin as the verba, which simply means words. The words, right? It gets its words with a capital W, you know. The words. Okay. This is your basic stuff from the catechism. I felt like this was worth throwing in here. Let's read the catechism together here. What is the sacrament of the altar? Respond with me here. It is the true body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, under the bread and wine, instituted by Christ himself for us Christians to eat and to drink. That is...
Did the in and the with get, like, deleted?
No, I don't think that it's... No.
You know, because this version doesn't say in, with, and under.
Well, I do believe that it's just... Did I make a typo there? Yeah, okay, that's what I was thinking, yeah. It's actually not in the catechism part, but that is a typical way that Lutherans explain it, right? In, with, and under.
I'm pretty sure it meant when I memorized it in the mid-turn
really?
Of the century, there was a with and an under.
Well, I mean, we say it so much that even if it wasn't, I wouldn't be surprised if, right? Do you see how confused I was there?
Yeah, no,
right?
I didn't mean to throw you a wrench, I just was like, where's the with and the under?
Right, no, we say that so much, which is basically to say it's a mystery. How is Christ present in the supper? In, with, and under the bread and wine. Okay. How can this be? Through the power of the word, so we believe it. So here's the question. Is it just magic words then? Not exactly. We can't bend God to do our will just by saying his words. But Jesus did command us, do this in remembrance of me. So when we do this in remembrance of him, with his words, will he be present with us according, right? If he said, do this, right? And we use his words and he says, this is my body and that's what we're doing, then is it his body? Yeah, right, exactly. Perfect. Okay, let's now talk about, because this isn't just about what is the Lord's Supper. You guys already know what the Lord's Supper is. We want to talk about what are we doing in church today. So let's just talk about some of these ceremonies that are around the words of our Lord and even the whole Lord's Supper. You'll notice that something I'm a stickler on is I'm going to chant the words of institution. The only time you won't find me chanting the words of institution is if for some reason I'm doing service during a midweek or it's like a low key service. But even when I take the Lord's Supper to my shut-ins, I chant it with them unless they pitch a fit or something and they get really offended and they say, "Why are you doing that?" But if you pitch a fit, I won't stop. Why? Why chant the words of institution? Because chanting things is elevation of it, right? When you add music to something, it raises it up higher. As long as it's not some chintzy ditty, then that can bring it down, right? But it's made to exalt it. I want to talk to you about how the chanting does, how the chanting works. Back in Luther's day, back in the Reformation, they would oftentimes chant the gospel reading, especially during Holy Week. So you remember how we read the gospel a whole ton over Holy Week, right? They would chant through that. An interesting thing that they would do is they would set Jesus' voice. When Jesus spoke, they would set it lower, right? Jesus is this rich baritone voice, right? A manly man, if you will, right? So you notice that in the singing, right? Our Lord Jesus Christ, and we're up here high, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body," right? So words of Jesus get lowered to give them some more gravitas, if you will. And this is probably going against all of your ideas because, you know, you watched Godspell and Jesus Christ Superstar, and he's probably a tenor in those, right? But Jesus is a baritone. All right, all that worked up for that joke. Thank you for laughing, Rod.
Sure, you're welcome.
So, yeah, you'll notice that, right? It's dropped down low when Jesus speaks. Okay, what am I doing during the whole thing? There's some gestures, there's something going. When we say take, when Jesus took bread or when he took the cup, you'll notice I take it, right? We're doing as Jesus did. How long have you guys had the big wafer? Has there always been the big wafer? By the way, that's called the celebrant's host, if you want to write that. I don't know, is it already there? Have you guys always had the big wafer in use? Or long enough? Sure, yeah, excellent. All right, well, that's called the celebrant's host. Why is there a bigger wafer there? Anybody got an idea what the point of that is?
So we can see you break it.
That's exactly it, right? So you can see it when I lift it up. You can see what we're doing, right? It's a celebrant's host. It's the piece that the pastor eats. It's not so that the pastor is more holy and he gets extra stuff, right? Sometimes I eat the whole thing. Sometimes I share it with those who are assisting me at the altar. But the purpose of it is for seeing it, right? You see me lift it up, right? Is it a good thing for you to see the body of Christ and to see his blood? Yes, it's a good thing, right? I've seen some pastors who don't have that and they just hold up the little thing and I'm like, man, that's asking a lot to see, you know? So we use that, not holier, great. When we get to the words where we say, "And Jesus gave thanks," you'll find that a gesture at the elements, right? On the night he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, so I'll gesture at the bread when it's the bread part, I'll gesture at the wine when it's the wine part. And that is just to indicate these are the things that we're consecrating, right? We've got bread and wine all over up there, right? We've got it on the altar. We've got it over here on the credence table, right? I'm gesturing to you guys those things that we're using. Am I consecrating all bread and wine in this place?
No.
Somebody has some in the back there. Am I consecrating that?
No,
right? We're talking about something specific here. He gave thanks. I'm giving thanks for these things. I'm not giving thanks for those things, right? So that's what's going on there when you see those gestures. And then Finally, we'll get to Jesus' words. And when we get into that baritone mode, you'll notice I don't need to do anything really with my hands anymore except one more thing in the middle. But I'll bring my hands together and I'll sort of give a little bow of reverence for the word of Christ. I look at you when I'm doing the narrative, right? And I'm telling you the story, right? He took bread and when he had given thanks. But then when we get to the words of Jesus, these are the big ones, right? And so out of reverence for Christ's words, I'll sort of avert my eyes a little bit to you. And I'm not saying this is sort of a me thing, though plenty of other guys do it. I suppose I could look at you and it's just fine. I am speaking Christ's words to you. But it's sort of the way I think about reading the gospel reading. Have you ever noticed that I'm not the sort of guy who looks up to read the gospel reading for you? If you ever make eye contact with me, I'm going to be embarrassed because that means I looked out at you and was sort of distracted from my reading, right? I like to just be down there and read God's word for you. So when I get to Jesus' words, I, out of reverence, bow. Because I don't want you to think that, yes, I stand in the place of Jesus, but I never want anybody to make the mistake of elevating me higher than I should be. Do you get what I'm saying there? Right? So out of honor, this is Jesus' words, right? Nothing in Pastor Hader makes this the sacrament. It's Christ's words that you have faith in, right? So bow a little bit for that. And that's not a bad, I mean, you could do that too, right? This is like holiest words of the service where Jesus is coming bodily to us according to his word. When he says, this is my body, this is his body. Not a bad time for you to sort of reverently bow and listen. At the words, this is my body, I will gesture with the sign of the cross over the bread. And at the words, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, I will make the sign of the cross over the elements, the wine, at that too. Is it a magic sign that makes it the body and blood of Jesus? No. That sign that I make is so that if you're watching, you see, he's saying, this is the body and blood of Christ, right? It's for your benefit that these things are happening, right? Did I need to do that? No. Right? It's a learning thing for you. Okay. Last part. This is the fun part. The elevation. After each element has been consecrated, you probably noticed that. I lift up the host. I don't even get through the whole words of institution. I stop halfway. I lift up the host. Then I put it down and I genuflect, right? Which is getting down on one knee to bow. Why do you think that I do this? And I do the same thing for the chalice afterwards. Any ideas why someone might do that? Pastor does that.
Reverence.
Reverence, good. Reverence toward what?
God's body and blood.
Yeah, exactly. God's body and blood, the body and blood of Jesus. I do that because it's a proclamation of our faith. Not every church pastors wouldn't do that or even be comfortable with that. If a pastor did that in other churches, depending on what they say is happening up there, their parishioners might be offended that their pastor do that, right? What does it mean if pastor genuflex bows to the bread and wine, to the body and blood? What does that mean he thinks about it?
It's not a symbol.
It is not a symbol, right? It truly is the body and blood of Jesus, right? Some people don't believe that. Yep, some people think it's impossible that this could be the body and blood. So we do that. Which is a bold claim, right? You could be safer, I suppose, by not doing it. Because if it's just bread and wine, then what has Pastor done? And if you bow, what have you done? Yeah, exactly, right? I mean, it's nearly blasphemous, right? If it's not the body and blood of Jesus. So that's sort of the thing, right? It's either the best thing you could do or the worst thing you could do, right? It's either you've shown the highest honor, right? Like that's one of the highest forms of honor. It's not just a little bow. It's the full deep bow that you can do in the service, showing highest honor here to the bread and wine, to the body and blood of Jesus. You're not really showing honor to the bread and wine, obviously. So, right? That's If somebody says, I can't believe that the pastor would lift up the host and bow to it, then you sort of know that they don't quite get it yet. You know, I can't believe that you would do that, right? It's like, well, you tell me how you're going to show reverence to the body of Christ, right? We think that he's entered the room, you know, in a very physical way. So go for it. I say that's a perfect time for you to give a reverent bow. You'll notice that all the acolytes and the servers, when I go down, they give a modest bow as well, right? Think of those acolytes and servers up there as sort of your first congregants, right? They're your leaders in the worship, sort of helping you see. You can follow along with them on that. So go for it. And here's how we do it. I lift it up, then I bow. And I think it's probably just good we all bow together. You can certainly bow when I lift up if you want. And the reason why I lift it up first and then bow is because it used to be the other way around in Luther's day. Priest got the first bow, right? He's up there. He can see everything going on. So he bows first and then he lifts up for the people to see. But we're like, well, this sacrament is really for the people. It's not for the priest. So we're going to lift up first for the people to see. And then we're all going to bow together on it. Of course, all of this is not commanded by God, how you do it and how you show honor to him. But we are commanded to worship and honor God. So just think about how you do that and whether this is a good spot for that or not. Okay, we got through the words of institution. Any other questions about the words of institution? What's going on up there? Yes, Irene. Yes.
I thought they used to in this church for out onto the ground.
We are going to cover that. If not this week, then next week. It's actually the last thing on your outline, so probably next week. If you don't mind holding on to that question. Yeah. Go ahead.
How do you recommend, responding to the question of why is there so much choreography going on?
Mm-hmm.
It feels a little bit uncomfortable sometimes for some people.
Sure.
Like walking into a church and seeing everybody's doing these things and the pastor's doing these things. And it feels scripted rather than...
just like free-flowing or whatever?
Not free-flowing, but it's significantly different. It's something that I appreciate. Like, I appreciate the explanation.
Yeah,
it.
Sure.
But how do I respond when people are like, what's going on with all of the choreography?
Yeah, I mean, you can always run the risk of it becoming just going through the motions, right? And I think that's usually the thing that people are worried about, right? Because if you said to somebody like, no, this really helps me focus on what is actually going on up there, right? I get to participate in it. And it's not just them up there who are doing this sort of thing, right? It's not like they're up there doing the right motions to please God, right? What is all of this stuff for?
Yeah.
It's for you, right? The sacrament itself is for you, and everything that's going on up here is supposed to be an assistance for your devotion, right? And everything we do says something, right? And so, yeah, I mean, you got...
That's a great response. What's all the fanfare?
Yeah.
It's to help me focus on what's really happening.
I mean, I hate to bring it I'm not a big sport guy, but you go to the game, right? And there are things you do at certain times, right? That help you get into the game and enjoy the game, right? Like maybe the mascot comes out, and I'm not calling myself a mascot here, right? I was worried about bringing this up, right? Right, but you have the different things you do, right? You got the seventh inning stretch. You've got the cheers and all that stuff, and everybody's getting into it. Why do you just keep doing that thing over and over again? You know, like to ask that question is to sort of miss that sort of aspect of it, right? Like these things are meant to help. And of course, you know, you can...
But they can be distracting too. Like if you're not, it can be...
Sure, yeah. Like if you went to your first baseball game and you thought you were just supposed to be watching the game, like what is all this stuff going on here, right? You know, it's like, no, this is all a part of it, you know? It's all focusing in on it. Go ahead, Mom.
One of the things that I like to share with people is that we are created beings, mind, body, and soul.
Sure.
And when we are worshiping, we are also worshiping with our bodies. And so sometimes our minds can wander, but our being a whole being, mind and body and soul, our bodies help our minds focus. When we do things, worship with our bodies. Also, secondly, very young people, young children and whatnot who are in the pew who can't yet read or reason can worship with their bodies. Mm-hmm. They can bow, they can stand, they mm-hmm. can sit, they can fold their hands at an appropriate time.
Yep.
And so worshiping with our bodies is something that I think relates to people and is easy to talk about when asked about questions about the liturgy.
Really good. Thank you.
And lastly, I'll just add to that, you know, we can go on autopilot, and I know that, you know, we don't want to do that, but I've heard somebody say once, you know, like, Lord's Prayer, most abused prayer in the world, right, because it's said all the time without thinking, right, so we want to be thinking about what we're praying, but I temper that with a grain of salt and say, but if you said the Lord's Prayer 100 times without thinking about it, would it be bad for you? You know, like maybe it'll come back and be helpful to you at another point, right? Because you, so anywho, go for it.
To help you with your sports analogy a little bit, I'm going to go to hockey, of course. So for hockey, when there's a power play, they do this little power play dance. And quite honestly, if they didn't do that, I might miss that there was a penalty, that somebody's in the box.
That's sure. What's going on. Well, that's huge. Yeah.
Yeah, I might miss that that's going yes. on. Like, what's happening? You know, but if they're doing this thing, I'm like, oh.
This catches is your attention. No, that's perfect.
And then when you're bowing, I'm like, oh, this is important. This
yes.
is big. This is significant.
Well, that's the whole thing. What it is, right? It's not just it's helping you to worship. And then the other side of it, I really love how you said that's just that thing is just basically communicating information, right? And that's what the movements are doing, right? They're communicating information, right? If I lift it up and I bow. That's telling you something about what I believe, right? And that's what every little thing that we should be doing, right? It should, right? You should be able to ask me, Pastor, why do we do that? And I should be able to tell you there's a reason, right? I should be able to tell you. I mean, sometimes it's just the way we've always done it. But hopefully not like less than 10% should be. It's just the way we've always done it. You know what I mean? Go ahead, Alan.
I've been following along with divine service.
Sure.
I noticed here at page 162, before the words body and blood are the cross, probably to emphasize that presence of Christ with us.
Absolutely.
And that probably is the sign point where you genuflect, am I correct?
No, that's actually the sign where I'll make the cross over the elements. And then after I get the first paragraph, then I'll lift up and then I'll genuflect. Yeah, so that's where I make the...
No,
that's helpful. You look in your hymnal and you'll see the sign of the cross is written there in the words of institution. And that'll tell you what we're up to.
Absolutely.
Yep. Okay, we've got 5 minutes. A lot of things to do here for the Pax Domini. Any other questions? Let's try to get through it. We can do it. It's a short little paragraph here in my standards. Okay, Pax Domini. That is Latin for the peace of the Lord. And that's when I say the peace of the Lord be with you always. Helpful hint. If there's ever Latin in the title... In your bulletin, it's just the first few words of what is actually said. Agnus Dei, Lamb of God, you take away. Right, it's just Lamb of God. Pax Domini, peace of the Lord. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Right, so just look below and read the first couple words. That's what it means. Okay? You don't have to be fluent in Latin. All right, so let's look at what this is about. John 20, 19 to 20. On the evening of that day, what day? Easter Sunday. We just had that two weeks ago on Easter 2. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Sorry, typo there. So Jesus came to them, showed them his hands and his side. They were happy. He said to them, "Peace be with you." Pastor holds up the chalice. and the host and says, "The peace of the Lord be with you always." And you're meant to think, oh yeah, Jesus gave peace to his disciples when he showed them his wounds. And what is Pastor showing you here? The body and blood of Jesus, the marks of his suffering for you. That's what this section means, right? So why do I make the sign of the cross with the host? Because he died for you, right? It's the cross, right? His passion, which is for you, where this is going on here. So we're connecting the sacrament to Jesus's peace. And I think that's good. I think it's good. You notice what I do? Some pastors will just, you know, sort of gesture at you all and say, "The peace of the Lord be with you always." They won't take the bread and wine in their hand. Why do I take the bread and the wine in hand? Because it's not wishful thinking. I'm not just saying, you know, I hope you're having a good day. You know, peace of the Lord be with you. Right? The peace of the Lord be with you. Right? When Jesus said, "Peace be with you," was he just saying, "I hope you're at peace"? No, he was showing them peace itself in his wounds, right? And so what am I doing when I say the peace of the Lord be with you? I am showing you peace itself in the body and blood of Jesus Christ. The peace of the Lord be with you always, held up for you to see. You will say to that, what? Peace of the Lord be with you always. Not and also with you at this point. Not at all so with you. Amen. Right? Amen. Amen. Right? Because you believe that. And that's what it says. The disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Right? And you are glad. And you say, yes, this is my peace. That's why I say it's the difference between this wishful peace, right? May the peace of the Lord. That's why I'm not going to say, "May the peace of the Lord be with you always." I say, "The peace of the Lord be with you always, is with you always." And you say, amen. Not saying I hope so, but yes, it is. He's here with us. Thank you, Jesus. All right, Pax Domini. Pretty fun stuff there, huh? Any questions about that? All right, we made it through. Let's say the Lord's Prayer, and in 4 minutes. Perfect. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.